Well, hi there. My name is Nikki Bosnoff, and you're listening to the Health Justice Radio Collective. On July 1st of this year, many people in Ontario found themselves
no longer eligible for the special diet allowance, or a sum of money that could effectively be prescribed by a doctor for specific medical conditions requiring dietary modifications. These conditions included things like diabetes or difficulty swallowing. Cuts to the program under Dalton McGuinty apparently came as the cost to the program increased from $5 million in 2003 to $6 million in 2009. But poverty advocates across the province say that increases in the cost of the program reflect the fact the recipients, many of them receiving social assistance, began asking their healthcare providers to complete their special diet forms, and does not, as some politicians have alluded, reflect an abuse of the program. Many healthcare providers across the province filled out these forms willingly, but one in particular is being singled out and faces disciplinary hearing in front of the College of Physicians and Surgeons of Ontario. On today's episode of the Health Justice Radio Collective, we'll speak with that physician and anti-poverty advocate, Dr. Ronald Wong.
You're listening to Health Justice Radio Collective on CFMU 93.3.
Hi, Dr. Wong. Hi. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Okay.
So I guess to start off, I'm wondering if you can tell me a little bit about what the special diet allowance looked like before it was cut.
Special diet allowance has been around for many years. It was around 2004. There was a social work student who saw the misery around him, and he says, well, gee, there is no money from all this government at that time, especially Mike Harris, who took away about 25% of the benefits. So there's nothing left for the poor. So he says, well, there's a thing called special diet allowance. Why don't health professionals fill it and provide some food for the people? It wasn't had nothing to do with so-called medical conditions at that time. The initial forms in 2004 consisted of things like organic diet, calcium, protein supplements, and so forth. So it didn't really have anything to do with medical conditions. And then what happened was that in November of 2005, there were a lot more forms filled. And McGuinty's government became alarmed, and they changed the form and required specific medical conditions. And there was quite a lot of change at that time. And that's when I suppose they got pretty mad at me because I helped so many of these people.
Mm-hmm. So maybe you can talk to me a little bit about, you know, who the people were who were coming to you.
As you know, there are over 800,000 people who are on Ontario Works or Ontario Disability. So there are a large number of people. And what happened is that many physicians either are reluctant to fill the forms because they are not sure what it means, or some simply because of whatever philosophy of that they have does not wish to complete the form. So a lot of the social service agencies, including women's shelter, poverty groups, they know that I was helping the people, and so many came my way. Mm-hmm. There is another group called the Health Providers Against Poverty, mm-hmm. who held a very large clinic at Queen's Park in 2005, and that was another group that provided humongous help to the people.
Mm-hmm. And what impacts have you seen in your patients who saw their special diets allowance cut, or they're no longer eligible, or
the fundamental thing, of course, is that there is increased food in such as vegetables and meat and so on, which they seldom see before. because before that, they were only getting, say, a single person about $500-odd.
Mm-hmm.
Rent takes up $400. They have $100 left over. So you can imagine there isn't much left for food.
Mm-hmm.
And so that extra $100 or $200 allow them to have a totally different world when your income is expanded by twice, even though it's small to many folks. It means a lot to them.
Mm-hmm.
So fresh food and just being happy.
Mm-hmm.
They say, now I can have a cup of coffee at Tim Hortons. Before
mm-hmm.
they say, well, I can't, I've got to skip that.
Mm-hmm.
So even though people think it's such a simple thing, having a cup of coffee, it could be a problem for the poor.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, from what I understand, we have this system that basically might give you a bit of extra money once you're already sick, once you already have diabetes, but it doesn't really do anything to help people who are on social assistance access healthy food in the first place or do anything to, you know, help them stop getting diabetes in the first place. So I wonder if you can talk a little bit about that. Where's the logic here? Are we basically failing to prevent a lot of the illnesses?
We are failing to prevent simply by simply directing to medical conditions.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest, this is kind of a nonsense program because it does not provide any money to, say, people who have with mental disease, people who are blind or deaf, or any of those people will need as much food as the next person.
Mm-hmm.
So it was all a made-up thing to try and cut down the benefits to the poor
mm-hmm.
by using a specific medical condition. So the myth continues on that we should only provide money to those people with specific medical condition. I may be deviating from the question you just asked me,
mm-hmm.
but truly it is a way to divert the attention from what should have been done in the first instance, i.e. raise the rates for the poor people.
Mm-hmm.
From after what Mike Harris did.
Mm-hmm. So maybe now's a good time for you just to tell us, what are the impacts aside from, I guess, being food insufficient? What are the impacts on health of being a poor person?
Number one, there is a loss of opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
People think, well, gee, it's just food. It's not food. When you don't have food, you spend all your time looking around food banks, looking here and there, and just for those survival things. So you lost the opportunity for school, for thinking, and to have a life. Those are very, very important things. So the next one, of course, is that the strength to wear something decent so then you can go for a job interview. Those things are all lost to the poor people when they don't have food and the money for those items.
Mm-hmm.
So special diet is something that has impacted so many people, and maybe I'll just leave it there.
Mm-hmm. So I guess in the medical field, there seems to be this tension, especially when it relates to advocacy. Advocacy is one of the CanMed's roles, and it's certainly something that is supposedly taught in medical schools. And everyone's happy if you write letters or speak at a conference on behalf of the poor. But it seems like as soon as you get a bit political or, you know, do an action, the medical community gets a bit uncomfortable, and I'm wondering if you can talk about that tension.
Very, very, very good question. Simply because we have a few helping professions around us, the nurses, the physicians, and all the other people. If you look at the nurses, they're incredible in terms of their social attitude. They will come out, they'll support the poor people, they will write, they will do whatever it takes.
Mm-hmm.
Medical profession, on the other side, is a very conservative group,
mm-hmm.
and you never see them coming up to say, well, you know, for most, from what I see anyway, that they will come out and help the poor. They would go for their negotiations endlessly, but never really ever coming out and says, yes, this is the point.
Mm-hmm.
This is the point. where we are coming out to help the poor. Not just helping the poor, but even helping their own members, for heaven's sake. For a long time, a lot of the physicians were bullied by the medical review committee, where their billings were questioned for not doing a rectal exam on a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And so the medical profession has been backwards. And the other question is, what happens if somebody becomes like more action-orientated?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there isn't much help from any of the medical people. They become rather suspicious. Maybe you're trying to make too much money out of this whole thing, which they will level at me. They send the OPP after me for fraud, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So my life has been not easy.
Mm-hmm.
So unfortunately, of course, for me, is that none of that became true. The OPP found that there was no case of fraud. They can't find anything.
Mm-hmm.
So that helps me. But that does not end. They use the college to chase me down.
Mm-hmm.
That's how this society is. So if you're not ready to take the heat, maybe writing letters is all about you can do.
Mm-hmm.
but I'm not going to be cynical. I just say that, you know, I think a lot of us may have to step on somebody's toes.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, the people we step on have we step on Goliath's toes.
Mm-hmm.
And that becomes very difficult for us.
But there's a difference, right? There's a difference between advocacy and activism. And I would say maybe the difference is that on one hand, you're speaking for people. That would be advocacy.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other, your actions are more motivated and in solidarity with the community.
Yes, it takes a different... not everybody can go the extra length of activism because there's a lot of pressure on the person emotionally and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And so if the person is not ready to be able to sleep on those accusations and controversy, then you know, maybe it's not very good for the person.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I am a little bit more rough and tough on those things.
Let's
and I
hope
say,
so.
Well, if you want to come after me, do so, and I will have to take the consequences.
Mm-hmm.
Not to show any signs of bravado or anything, but it's simply that it is a fact. If you cannot sleep with all these things, then don't go for it, because it's really tough.
Mm-hmm. So maybe you can talk a little bit about the disciplinary
hearing
that you're come up against.
Upcoming. Yes, on October the 1st, there will be a support meeting for me at 2:30 p.m. at 25 Cecil Street, Steelworkers Hall in Toronto. And then on October the 3rd at 8 a.m. in the morning, the first of the series of the hearing will begin. And there will be some supporters, hopefully, in the morning to give me some, to cheer me and my team to go forward in our quest to have some kind of sense and to put what is truth on the table. This is election days coming up, and the government should face the music.
Mm-hmm.
What they have done so far has basically been try to issue various committee reports and paperwork, but never any really real help for the poor.
Right. So what exactly are they accusing you of?
They're accusing me of signing forms
without
checking exactly what these people have.
Right.
Some of the conditions they have included things like bad teeth, which is not difficult to see.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need a test to do it. Open your mouth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Things like constipation. Well, I'm not going to watch you in your washroom.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no test for that. milk allergy, same thing. I mean, if you tell me you have milk intolerance, I'm not going to watch you. What are you doing after I give you a glass of milk, right?
So essentially they're saying, like, you should have been more...
more tests.
Right, you should have been doing more tests. You should have been more suspicious of what these people were telling you.
Yes, But the issue in medical science, of course, is that we have to be cost conscious too. Mm-hmm. We can order tests for everything, but to what reason? Am I going to treat them? No, I'm not, for most of them anyway, the majority of them.
Mm-hmm.
And is it cost effective? No, it's not. Well, I can scan, send them to skin tests for this and that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that will take a long time to arrange time with those specialists to do skin tests for, say, wheat and all the other allergies.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, is the things I'm doing causing harm to the people? No, it doesn't, right? If I make an error, it is to their positive side, i.e. they get food.
Right.
So why am I going to be such a so-called fastidious on the all the severe tests? So that those will be the things coming up at the hearing, yeah.
And how are you feeling based on the support you've received to date?
I'm feeling very positive. But when you go before hearings and panels, you can never say what will happen. So, but as I say, for many previous people who have gone before dangerous places, the door, when somebody knocks on the door in the middle of the night, you should be prepared to go where to go. That's where it is. So whatever it takes. Yeah.
And what's the worst case scenario here?
Worst case scenario is they can suspend your license. They can suspend your license permanently. They can suspend it for a few months. They can just give you a reprimand. They can just say it's goodbye to you. We have nothing to do with you now. That's how the range from severity to this total dismissal.
Okay.
Hopefully we are looking for the last one.
Yeah. So you're feeling good. That's good.
Well, and you feel a sense of anticipation.
Yeah. It must be stressful.
Stress, as I say, yes, there's always stress. It would be foolish to say there's no stress. But I'm not overly stressed to the extent that I cannot function. Yeah.
Now, do you think this is, people are still filling out special diet forms, obviously, because people continue. So, should you not have your license revoked, presumably you'll still be able to fill out those forms.
I still fill some forms for some of my patients that I see for a long time. Because to not fill the forms is actually a disservice to me. It's almost like crime. It's medical malpractice not to help them. Because it's my duty. It's a part of my service.
Well, I think a lot of people would argue that advocating for the poor is part of the duty of a physician.
It should be.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you so much for your time, Dr. Wong. Anything else that you wanted to say?
Except that one very important point for this election coming up. We live in a democratic country, and a lot of times we don't go out to vote. And one of the things I like people to do is that they go out there and vote for something that helps the community. And if you fail to do that, then we have wasted one important opportunity in this society. So thank you.
Okay, thank you so much, Dr. Wong.
Yeah, bye-bye then.
Bye. Okay, that's it for the Health Justice Radio Collective today. Thanks for joining us, and we'll be back next Monday with a special guest who will be talking to us about tuberculosis in South Africa. So I'm looking forward to that conversation. Here's City in Color from their album titled Little Hell.